Leviticus 22. Leviticus chapter 22, begin in verse 29 in a moment. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this day that you have given us. Amen. We pray that you would be with your word as it goes forth all across our country. We pray that it might accomplish what you would have it to. We pray that you would open the hearts of the people across our country.
Leviticus 22, verse 29, it says, "And when ye will offer a what?
Sacrifice
of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." So we're looking this morning at the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So we're not talking about sacrificing turkeys. You know, people think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You might think, well, think of all those poor turkeys that have to die at Thanksgiving time. Well, they'd have to die anyway, whether it's Thanksgiving time or not, because they were raised for that purpose. But we're not talking about food, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What are we talking about? Well, number one, a sacrifice of thanksgiving involves a willing heart. A sacrifice of thanksgiving involves a willing heart. It says here in verse 29, "And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at what?
Your own will."
Your own will. How many things this week will we be thankful for and grateful to God for? Just of our own free will, without someone coercing us, you know, to, okay, now what do you say? You know, we teach our children that way, you know, now what do you say? Thank you. What about us as adults? What will characterize us this week? Will we be a thankful people? You know, in the Old Testament, the priest and the Jews as a whole became unthankful. Notice in Malachi chapter 1, they were unthankful. Unthankfulness leads to corruption. Malachi chapter 1, we think about the priest here in verse 10. Malachi 1:10, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." So they had become, it's like, okay, you're asked to do something. Well, what are you going to give me? I mean, what would it be like that if that was that way in our homes? Hey, honey, what's for lunch? Well, what are you going to give me? Well, I don't know, $5, $10. So, what would happen if she said to me, "The faucet's leaking," or "The trash needs to be taken out," and if I said back to her, if I said, "Okay, what are you going to pay me?" And what would a home be like? Where's the willing heart? And God wants us that way. God wants us of a willing heart. In verse 11 here, Malachi 1:11, "For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be what?
Great.
My name shall be great among who? The heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." So God's own people wouldn't glorify his name. It's like you won't even open and shut the doors of God's house unless there's something in it for you. What about the willing heart? The heathen, there are going to come a time when even the Gentiles would praise God's name for all that he has done. But the Jewish people had lost that. What a privilege it is to have our sins forgiven through Jesus Christ and his blood. What a glorious thing that is. Notice in John chapter 1, what a privilege. And yet, If someone were to ask us this morning, what are you thankful for? And would we have to stop and think? We really should be able to just roll off the thing, shouldn't we? In John 1 and verse 11, he came unto who? His own. So who were his own? The Jewish people. He came unto his own, and his own, which was who? The Jewish people did what? Received him not. They rejected him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? Of God. We were born of God. We were born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. So notice in these same verses here in John, verse 11, he came into his own and his own received him not. So let's go back to Malachi chapter 1. So the Jewish people rejected him. The Jewish people got to the point where, well, you're asking me to do this or that. Well, what's in it for me? They were not serving the Lord out of a willing heart. Do we have the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Well, we offer that this week, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So in Malachi 1, verse 12, so we ended verse 11 there where the heathen would glorify his name. Now verse 12, but ye, the Jews, have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what? What a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? So, you know, they were looking at it. Well, let's read verse 14 as well. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord, what? Corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, I've got to give this sacrifice. It's required of me. But you know what? I've got this blind goat, or this lamb that was attacked by a wolf, and it was torn and is lame. I'll just sacrifice that to the Lord. Yeah, I've got to give this sacrifice. But you know what? In the process, I can get rid of, you know, my weak, less desirable animals. That's what they were doing to the Lord. How sad. So what will our Thanksgiving week look like from a heavenly perspective? What will it look like? The sacrifice of Thanksgiving. What will that mean to us? Notice with me in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You know, Daniel is a good example for us of thankfulness. Just a tremendous example. He's a tremendous example of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. When does it require a sacrifice on our part to be thankful? Notice in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because what? An excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, verse 3 tells us that an excellent spirit was in Daniel. And a little later on, we're going to read about his thankfulness. Now, stop and think with me. Daniel, we never read anything about his parents. As a young man, we don't know exactly what age he was, but as a young man, he was taken captive to Babylon. He outlived the 70 years of captivity. So he was an older man. Up in years, when he had the Belshazzar incident, the handwriting on the wall and so on, and at that point, it was like, give your gifts to others, But this is the way it is, the word of the Lord. So Daniel was taken captive from Israel way over to Babylon as a young man. So we don't know if his parents were killed. Brothers and sisters, were they killed? Were they captive somewhere else? We don't know. They're never mentioned. But Daniel, if they're still alive, he's separated from them. So Daniel, as a young man, is taken captive to a foreign land, then expected to learn their language and their learning. And then he's expected to be a counselor of the king. Now, it'd be real easy to have a chip on your shoulder in that instance, would it not? I mean, he was taken from his native land. He didn't have his choice of his occupation. He was thrust into this. And yet Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. It's pretty amazing. And so as we're thinking about the sacrifice of thanksgiving, keep that in your mind. Sometimes it is a sacrifice on our part to be thankful. And we'll read more about it here as we go on. But in verse 3, the king is thinking of setting Daniel over the whole realm because he has an excellent spirit. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against who? Daniel. Have you ever been in the working world and someone's trying to take your job, your position? That happens. So they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find what? None occasion nor fault, for as much as he was what?
Faithful.
Neither was there any error or fault found in him. So what happens? Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So in verse 4, they're trying to find something on Daniel. You know how it is in the working world. As soon as the boss walks out of the room or has the day off, people are talking about the boss. Just think how they tried to set up Daniel. I can just imagine how these guys tried to set him up. Coming up to Daniel, trying to murmur against the king, other leaders, what have you, and just trying to get Daniel to say something bad about the king, to complain about something so they could run to the king. What a tremendous testimony. Verse 4 said they could find none occasion or fault in him. So verse 5, they get the idea, listen, we're not going to get any dirt on this guy unless we can somehow outlaw something in his religion, something in his faith. So what'd they do? Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. What's the first word of verse 7? All the presidents of the kingdom. That was a lie. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted what?
Together.
That was a lie. To establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a what? A petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're saying, king, listen, all the presidents, and go back to verse 2. It says, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was what? First. So Daniel is one of those presidents. And so they're saying, king, all the presidents have gotten together. We've all decided that we should make it against the law to ask a petition. Now, a petition is a request. So prayer, our prayers are petitions to God. They are requests. And so they're saying, listen, if any man ask of any god or man any petition for these 30 days, he'll be cast into the den of lions. So verse 8, Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. They knew, you know, these people were very prideful, and when they made a law, there was no provision to change it, to alter it. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Oh, he was tricked, and he fell for it. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew what? The writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as what? As he did aforetime. So let's start from the bottom of this verse and go back up. So what he was doing here, praying, was what he had always done. So in other words, a law was made, and he knew about the law. He knew that if he was caught, he would be cast into the den of lions. He knew that. But he did just like he did aforetime. And what was he used to doing aforetime? Go to the previous phrase. What he did aforetime was, and gave what? Thanks before his God. This is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know what? Daniel could have been like so many people in our country today. They're looking back at previous generations. They're looking back at strengths and weaknesses. They're looking back at mistakes. And so there are some in our generation that say, hey, you didn't treat my granddaddy right, so you should pay me for it. What? I didn't even know your granddaddy. Well, your granddaddy knew my granddaddy, and your granddaddy did my granddaddy wrong, so you ought to pay me money for it. What is wrong with you? I tell you what's wrong with them. They're carrying a grudge. They're carrying a grudge. They're carrying bitterness around. That's the problem. You know what? Daniel could have been the same way, but he was not. He could have carried bitterness around with him all of his life. Lord, this isn't fair. I've lived in this foreign land. I've tried to be faithful to you. And what have you done? You've allowed them to make a law that's going to get me thrown into the lion's den. You've allowed them to make a law that could easily take my life. Lord, it's not fair. That's not the way he had been, and it's not the way he was right now. He gave thanks to his God as aforetime, is what he did. So in verse 10, we're looking at the bottom of it. So what did he do aforetime? He was used to giving God thanks. Here was a young man. Remember what we read? There was an excellent spirit about him. Verse 3, that's one thing that stood out to the king. This man has an excellent spirit about him. Why? Because he was not a bitter man. So let's back up a little more then. So he continued to do what he had done aforetime. And what was it? It was giving thanks. The previous phrase, it said, and prayed. And prayed. And if you back up to the next previous phrase, he prayed upon his, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. You know, sometimes people try to hide their faith. Daniel did not, because if we back up another phrase, he's used to doing this in his with his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Why was he praying toward Jerusalem? Well, remember when Solomon built God's house? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he asked the Lord, listen, if anyone looks toward this building and prays. So Daniel's in a foreign land, but he's facing that direction based upon what Solomon said. He's facing Jerusalem that direction and praying, bringing his petitions before God. And he was not ashamed of it. He was not ashamed of it. Should we be ashamed to bow our heads in prayer when we're in the midst of lost people? You know, are we going to try to, rub our eyes or do something where it looks like we're doing something else and just say a quick prayer? We shouldn't hide it, should we? Daniel was used to not hiding it. Everyone knew that three times a day, he opened his windows toward Jerusalem and he prayed. He was not ashamed of it. And so as we back up another phrase, in the last phrase of the first phrase, actually, of verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. So Daniel was not trying to break the law out of spite. It's like, oh, the government's going to make this law? Well, just see. I'm not going to do it. That wasn't his attitude. This is something he had done previously. He had done it all the time. Now you say, well, why did he have to do it in front of an open window? Because that was his practice. Now, if he closed the window and did it now, then his enemies would think they had succeeded. So he was not about to do that. So this is what you call the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 10 at the last part there. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He wasn't saying, but God, how could you let this happen to me? How could you let them make this law? You know how faithful I've been for all these years. How could you do this to me? No, he gave thanks. And the reason he could do it in this hour is because he had done it at this point for years. For years he had thanked God. For years he had not been bitter. That's why he could do it at this point. You know, if you go with me to Proverbs chapter 3, you know, how do we face the great trials in life? Well, if we are just used to acknowledging God in all of our ways, then we're more likely to do it in the bigger hours because that's been the pattern of our lives. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And lean not unto what? Thine own understanding. In all thy ways what? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When we are used to doing that, then it's easier to give thanks. And I mean actually be sincere about it. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, when we are acknowledging him in all things and asking for his direction, then it means that we are not off like running out of his will like with Elijah. Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah's off in this cave. Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, Lord, I've been faithful to you, and now they seek my life to take it away. God asked him again, Elijah, what are you doing here? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in what? Everything what? Give thanks. For this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But we will not be able to do that from a sincere heart if we haven't been obeying Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If we have not been acknowledging him in everything, in all our ways, then we're not going to be able in those great hours of trial to really thank him. Because, number one, why are we here where we're at in whatever situation it is if we haven't been acknowledging him? And then we'll be confused, we'll be hurt, and possibly open to bitterness. So Daniel, this was the practice of his life. So this week, will we have the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Now, I'm not talking about are we going to have a turkey. I'm talking about this week as we face a multitude of different things. Will we be able to thank God? Even in situations where many people would be bitter against God, how will we be found? You know, many times when it's a sacrifice to obey God, then there's the temptation to not do it. Well, but Lord, if I do this, then then I'll be the loser. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. You know, many times it seems like if we obey God, we are going to be the loser. Many times it will seem like, okay, but if I obey God, this person or this situation is going to get the best of me. But notice in Matthew 10, verse 39, Matthew 10, 39, it says, he that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall what? Find it. So true life, the life of thanksgiving, a life of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we will face those situations throughout our lives, multitude of situations. But Lord, if I do this, what you're telling me, I could lose this or that or that. But that's where the blessing comes. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I think back in my life of the different situations I faced where it looked like if I obeyed God, I was going to be the loser. But in the end, just like with Daniel, when we're willing to lose our life for Christ's sake, when we're willing to have the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that's when God can work marvelously. Why is it that children love Daniel, the character of Daniel? I mean, you would think, wouldn't you, that little children wouldn't like to read about Daniel because he's thrown in the lion's den. I mean, that's a scary place. Why do children love to hear the story? Because of the miraculous deliverance of God. The sacrifice. He prayed. What got him thrown in the lion's den? The sacrifice of thanksgiving. He opened his window to Jerusalem as he did it three times a day, and gave thanks before God. I pray that we would this week, that first of all, we have so many things, good things to thank God for, blessings, benefits that we don't even deserve. But then in the harder situations, like Daniel, just sacrificially thanking God and seeing what he will do with our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this week when we can remember Thanksgiving. Lord, please forgive us. The more we have, Lord, it just seems like the more we expect. We're so selfish, and we get used to conveniences, and then we complain if we don't have them because we think we need them. Lord, forgive us. We think of one of the things of Sodom and Gomorrah was they weren't thankful. In Ezekiel 16 and Romans 1, when they became unthankful, their hearts were changed to worse things. Lord, please help us to be thankful. So many blessings. And Lord, even in the hard situations, Lord, I pray you'd help us that we would be a people that in all our ways acknowledge you. And just it be just natural with us to constantly thank you for all you've done. Father, if there should be any here this morning who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray you'd help them this morning to realize what a great blessing has been provided for them, that Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, came to earth to bear their sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, and that he was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away their sin. And I pray, Lord, you'd help them now to willingly thank you for your sacrifice and to accept it. Please help us, Lord, to be a thankful people in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please.